I'm Katie Kelly. I'm 33 years old. Today is November 13th, 2019, and I am at the Fledge in Lansing, Michigan, and I am your big sister.
I am Ezra Kelly, and I'm 22 years old. It is November 13th, 2019. I'm at the Fledge with my big sister, Katie. You, my big sister, Katie.
Okay.
I don't know how to, like, should I start differently than just a question, or should I just start with a question? Okay, so, like, I guess this is kind of, actually, I chose this one because I just kind of want to know. What were you like when you were a kid? Like, cause I was like.
Like before you were born?
Yeah. Like when you were like 10 and under.
So I don't like remember myself that well as a kid. But I do remember, I loved playing with dolls, like even till I was like a little bit like too old, but most kids my age weren't playing with dolls, so maybe like 10 or 11 or 12 I was still playing with dolls, especially American girls. Like me and Lauren Campbell used to play in the basements with our American girls. And I don't know, I was like kind of girly but also like to be outside and have fun. But I always was like momish. Like I always was like, even when I was little, trying to take care of someone's baby or pretend that I was a mom or something like that.
Yeah. That's interesting. You're always like, it seemed like you always were like, cause you would watch me and MK a lot, but like you seemed so much older than me to me. Like it's so weird cause it seems like 10 years isn't that long, but.
Yeah. Like you, I watched like the Greens Kids and Jackson and stuff before you guys were even born. So
really?
I like always was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like all I ever wanted to do was be a mom.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you did that then. that makes me feel good. But
okay.
So what were your parents like?
So, like in my perspective, I guess,
yeah.
Mom and dad. I know me and mom were really close until I was like about maybe around 10, or maybe a little bit younger. And we did like everything together. We wore like matching clothes and went on bike rides and super weird stuff. I don't know. Our family was just, I guess, like the typical middle-class family. Like when it was me, RJ, mom and dad, before you guys were born. We went on vacations. We went to the park. We went to the country club. We went to the pool.
Like all together.
Yeah, all together. All together. All of us together. But my relationship was always closer with dad. We just got along better, and he was just always like understanding and compassionate. Also, always, you know, like. Crazy, got mad super fast. But mom just doesn't like when you become your own person. She wants you to be who she wants you to be. So that's where we butted heads. And just because I was a teenage girl and she was my mom, but
yeah.
We're just a lot different. She has a lot different views on life and is way more closed-minded than me. So she really never got me, I felt like. But she just has her way of, I don't know, she's super naive, I guess. I don't know.
It's a Leo. It's like their way. And it's like really interesting for me to hear any of like your side. It's like I would never think about it in like certain ways. But it's interesting. And okay. Oh, I had to ask who your favorite relatives were.
Oh, gosh.
And that can be like aunts and uncles too.
I think that our family's so weird because we're not closer with our extended family. Like, after Grandma Kelly died, Like, we never, like, even did, like, anything together. And we were never, like, all my friends are close with their cousins. We're not. But I guess my favorite relatives in the extended family would have been Grandma Kelly. And, I mean, when I was younger, I thought Mary Angela was cool, and I always liked her, but we didn't see her very often. I thought that a lot of mom and dad's friends were more like family than our actual family was, but in our inner family, obviously you and MK are my favorites.
Yeah, no, I figured that. That's interesting, because I feel like mom put me and MK around her family a lot. More like she was like, maybe like she like tried to when we were like younger though, but then like once we came out and tried to become our own people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. How has being a parent changed you? Like, I wanted to ask that because I think it's important to know. Like, well, first of all, you've been a parent since you were 19, and I think that because of what you do, like what you do as work and stuff now, I think it's like, I just think it would be interesting to understand that.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely shaped me and changed me as a person. So yeah, having Sky, when I was 19, totally changed my life. I mean, I was a spoiled brat that grew up in Hazlitt and, you know, like. I had no idea of the real world, I guess. And I was super, I cared about materialistic things. And when I got pregnant and mom and dad didn't want me to have the baby, and they sent me to pregnancy school. And then I kind of had to figure out life on my own after not knowing anything about life. It just opened my eyes to a different world. And I guess I knew other people struggled. And there was issues in the world, but I never really knew because we never saw it and it was never talked about in our household. And so that's when, you know, I started living in Lansing and learning anything about life. And I just knew that, like, the way we grew up and, like, the way I remember mom and dad and, like, their friends talking and talking about other people, like, actually just started to disgust me.
Yeah.
Because they were so close-minded and didn't have any care for anyone else. And that's, I guess, becoming a parent in a way made me have a lot. It made me realize that there were things to have compassion about.
Yeah.
And I became really compassionate for people and the struggles that people go through.
That's real.
But I think I always knew that I wanted to help people even before that, but I didn't realize even what was going on in the world.
Yeah. Oh, that's so crazy. Sorry, I'm processing what you said. It's so weird to, like, think that, like, because I was, like, 8 or 9. I think I was 8 when Skylar was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you went to pregnancy school, I was like 7 or 8. That's like so weird to think that I was like Storm's age. Oh, like it's so weird. But like, I would have never thought that that was like, I thought that was like that you were like, you wanted like to go, you know what I mean? Like, I thought like, no, like, so like anything happening to like that age of like someone that's like 7 or 8, like they just think like, oh, like cool, you know, like you get to go do something that I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think mom and dad tried to spin it like that. Like, it was going to be a good experience. They were actually sending me to a place with with people straight out of, girls that were pregnant straight out of prison and with drug problems. And I was literally an 18-year-old from Hazlitt that got pregnant by her, like, football star boyfriend and had, like, never done anything.
That is, like, so it's, like, so that being really thrown into, like, kind of, like, that's, like, really, like, traumatic, you know, like. Holy, like, I really can't even imagine what it would be like to be there. I remember when you came home, though, telling me your dreams. I remember talking to you on the phone, like, just not very long after you got there. And you're like, I'm going to come home soon. And I remember just being little, and I was like, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So weird to think about, like, my mind then, though.
It was kind of traumatic, but I'm glad that all that stuff happened, because if not, I don't think I would be as good of a person as I am.
I feel that. What are your dreams for your children?
I just want them to be able to be themselves and be comfortable with that and do what, like, start off doing what they want to do, not doing something that they think is going to make them money, because that's what they're supposed to do. Like, I want them to do what makes them happy. I want to them to always pursue their passion and their purpose.
That's awesome. It's powerful too, like, you know, passionate, power and passion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why I want that for them. Like, it just because so many people told me, oh, that's stupid. Oh, you won't make any money doing that. Oh, don't do that.
Power and passion?
You need to do... No, not with power and passion, but just, like, in general, like, with things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
That, like, that's why it took me so long to even get here, to do what I'm doing now.
I feel you. That's, like... It's weird, because, like, I don't ever remember... I don't ever remember, like, me and MK knowing, or, like, wanting to do anything besides music, but mom and dad would be like, well, what do you really want to be? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you get that?
No, I mean, I feel like I didn't even ever know what I wanted to be except to be a mom, because anything that I ever said or, like, brought up that I wanted to be, like, oh, I want to help people, so maybe I want to be a social worker or a therapist or a teacher, and, like, literally anything that I ever said that I wanted to be, I just got some sort of negative response. Not, like, no, like, support and, like, here's how you get to that. It's just, like, oh, you're not going to make any money. You should do something else. But they never had, like, an alternative solution.
I feel, yeah. And, no, I can, thinking back, watching from the outside of your life, it's, like, kind of, I can see that, because I always, like, I remember, like, every time you get into something, you're, like, all in, you know? And I feel like me and you are more that way than, like, even, like, I can connect with, like, I can't even connect with MK in that way. Like, when you're in something, you're, like, wide eyes, we don't blink, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's, like, we're there. And I feel the same, like, it's, like, the worst. I feel like when you, like, are working so hard towards something and someone, like, then it feels like the negativity, like, tears you down, you know? But then, like, once you stop doing it, then, like, it's, like, the worst to fail yourself, you know what I mean? But then, like, so it makes it so much harder to get going again, even with support.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, amazing that you can do that.
Oh, thank you.
What? Okay. Tell me how you, like, got into your line of work. And, like, what lessons your work has, like, taught you since. Or, like, if you, maybe you learned lessons to get you into the line, I guess.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Or, like, tell me about what power and passion is, you know?
So, just, I guess, the whole experience with country, going to prison, and really more so when he got out of prison, like, everything that we had to go through that I just... thought was so asinine, like, made no sense. Like, parole officer is supposed to be helping him transition, and they're making it harder. Like, when they, 2 days before he came home, and they told him, oh, you and Katie have a no contact, so you can't go home to the house that you thought you were going home to, it's not just that you thought you were going home to, that I spent his last money that he left getting into that house outside of the neighborhood that he was in where he caught his charge. And, like, also his whole reentry plan and all of his classes that he took while he was in prison were based on him coming home to his family. Like, he took parenting classes and family classes and...
For real?
And all of these things. And his whole plan was to come home, and I was his point of contact and his counselor's point of contact the whole time. And then 2 days before that, they ripped that all from him. And so his, like, basically all the work that he did in prison was for nothing, because they set him up to fail, because they were like, okay, well, actually, you're not doing any of that. We're going to put you in a halfway house on the same exact street that you just were like that you got caught up and were running on when and that's why you're here. Like they put him where he was selling drugs at. They put him in a halfway house where he was selling drugs instead of putting him back with his family. And I was 8.5 months pregnant. And they told him he couldn't be at the birth of our kids. So after that, like just us, like me trying to communicate with the parole officer, like what can we do to change it? And just getting roadblock after roadblock, there's nothing you can do. It's a privilege that he's out on parole. He can go back to prison if he doesn't want to sign the conditions. Us writing letters asking, you know, can we take classes? Can we do this? Can we do that? What can we do to be together as a family? Because family is one of the most important parts of reentry. And him getting in trouble for us writing letters instead of them helping him and us. And they're just, I mean, us even asking lawyers. And they're literally being no way to say that the parole officer or to prove that the parole officer is doing something wrong because they won't even give you that chance. There's no, you know, like court procedure or anything to get that removed. A parole officer can basically just do whatever he wants because from the MDOC perspective and from a legal perspective, it is a privilege that you are out of prison on parole because parole is for when you don't max out. So his sentence was 2 to 20 years. They let him, and then he did boot camp, so he did 90 days, so he did about 6 months total. So then they let him out at his minimum. That means that they could keep him on parole for up to those 20 years. Because that was his sentence. He would have to do the full 20 years in prison to not do parole. So just going through all of that really made me see how corrupt our criminal justice system is. And I always knew it was corrupt, but it's kind of like one of those things you know, but you have your own life going on and it sucks, but who really cares because it's not affecting you?
Yeah.
Or you don't think about it because it's not affecting you and you can't solve all the world's problems. But when it affects you, that's when I was like, I have to do something about this. Like, I just started researching and saw how it was affecting other people. I mean, my kids had to witness their dad go to jail for literally only for being around me on several occasions while he was on parole. And there was no need for the way that they did it. He always showed up to the parole officer. So his parole officer could have just called him in. Why wait until he has his baby to make her watch him be arrested?
God.
And Storm bawling in the car. And just to me, you're not just punishing the person that did the crime.
No,
like
that's
kids,
you're traumatizing the children. It's not even, like, especially like a baby, that's like the worst is because you don't know how that can affect their brain.
Yeah, so that was my biggest thing. And so after they extended his parole 6 months when they found out that we were living together and we weren't supposed to be, and we had nowhere to go where we could be around each other because no one could see us in public, and we started coming back to the Fledge because it was like a safe place for us to be together as a family that the police wouldn't find us. I just started being around Jerry and I was researching more about what we could do for him to get off parole and not be treated unfairly. And I wanted to start this, I thought, nonprofit to help returning citizens, and advocate for parole reform because that's where I really want to focus is on parole and probation reform. And Jerry was, the hatching came up. I needed money, and I was like, let's do something. We can't do Power and Passion because it's a nonprofit and it has to be a for-profit. He's like, okay, but what do you really want to do? And I said, Power and Passion. And it was the last day to enter the hatching. And he got on the computer and filled it out and was like, well, we're doing it. And I had nothing written down about the business. That was September 1st. September 25th, we pitched an entire business idea that we now had written down. We won. A couple days later, we met with the Michigan Department of Corrections and had a good meeting and then just kept on meeting. It's just growing so fast, I guess, is my point. It's just like crazier than I ever thought.
It does. It's like literally impossible to process like yesterday when I got here to your event. Jerry was like, you know, your sister's doing crazy. And I, like, tell, like, mom and dad and stuff, like, all the time. I'm like, no, Power and Passion's the biggest thing at the Fletch. And I'm like, literally it is. And it's the main focus because it's, like, expanding so fast. And that's what happens. Like, you can tell, like, where the biggest, like, success is because of that, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, so... And Jerry was like, you should tell her you're proud of her and stuff. I'm like, I've tried. I don't even know how to, like, express. Like, it's just, like... Whoa. You know what I mean? It's like, It's amazing though. Like, I want you to know, like, genuinely, like, it makes my heart pound, and that's what I can tell you. It's hard for me to tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I told Jerry, I was like, it's kind of like a weird thing with me and my siblings. I feel like it's hard to express it, But like, I feel it so physically. Like, I just, like, can't even express to you because I guess because no one really told us they were proud of us that much. Like, I never felt like someone would ever be proud of me. And, like, I just want you to know that I have that feeling for you. It's just hard for me to express because, like, it's insane. Like, how to see just, like, I tell people all the time, you're a single mom of three. You know, like, no one else has this opportunity anywhere else. Like, I mean, maybe they do and maybe they do some crazy shit, but, like, the Fledge made it possible. And it's just crazy because we weren't talking and you and your family showed up here one day. And... it was, like, within, like, a week or two of that I said something about how the Fledge was becoming a nonprofit, and you were like, oh, did you know that that's what I want to do? And, like, I just remembered that when you were talking.
Yeah, I forgot about that even.
And, like, it's just, like, that was only a few months ago, but it's just, like, crazy.
I know, it's crazy how fast it all happened. That just, like,
when you
really...
won the hatching, we both were like, what?
I didn't even get up. I'm like, no, not me. You made a mistake.
We saw the name, and we were like...
No, I know. I just, it, like, really cemented for me. I mean, I think me and, like, Power and Passion and the Fledges, like, how they think and things like that are super aligned. Like, Power and Passion's ultimate goal is that even though these returning citizens have made a mistake, they have paid their due to society for that mistake. And, like, they're... just everyone makes mistakes. Some of us get caught and went to prison for it, and some of us didn't. But I can almost guarantee that at least 99% of people have made at least one mistake in their life that they could have gone to prison for. So, like, we need to forgive these people. They've already done their time, and they also deserve to pursue their happiness and pursue their passion. And we need to, you know, make that available to them. And that's our ultimate goal. And I think that's just why the Fledge works so well, because me and Jerry think, like, so much alike about people and what they deserve. And
I know.
And just, like, yeah.
I do, too. Like...
yeah, I mean, I know, but just, like, that's how I can work with... it. Just,
it's
I don't know.
Weird because I feel like we connected, like, that kind of separately from Jerry, but also, like, through Jerry, I can, like, see it more, if that makes sense. Like,
no, yeah. I don't think that our relationship was ever as close as it was as when we started coming to the Fledge. Like, when I started
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, because I was always kind of indifferent to everyone. So, like, Marshall, like, hates RJ, you know? I was always just like, we all crazy. But now I feel like I'm the closest to you.
Yeah. No, it's for cool sure. Though. Yeah. For sure.
The youngest and the oldest.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I feel like the same way, that we're definitely the closest. I feel like, I don't know, like, the Power and Passion just really cemented that pursuing what your purpose is and what you're passionate about, no matter how hard it is. I mean, you know, like, while I was doing the hatching, while I was winning the hatching and everyone's saying how successful I am, me and the kids are basically homeless. We're sleeping couch to couch.
Literally.
In mom's one-bedroom apartment and struggling more than I ever have. And we've struggled, but... not like that,
but
I was happy.
No, that's what I was going to say. You were doing what you loved. So, like, it's, like, one thing, like, I felt like someone could look at it, like, I'm not trying to make it a negative thing. I don't think this way. But I felt like someone could look at it and be like, oh, like, you should just be working a job, you know, and, like, having a place for you and your kids. But in the long run, it will be so worth it for them to see you build them from there. Because, like...
I just believed in it so much that I knew, like, I was just at a point where when we came to the Fledge at first, like, we started coming, and then, like, we were going through a lot with his parole and everything, and I was stressed out, and I started coming to the Fledge as, like, a place that made me calm, that made my chest not hurt, that made me be able to breathe. And then from there, it grew to having enough confidence in myself. Before I came here, I would never even have enough confidence to even think that I could start a business. And then to start a business, and this is all in a few months.
Yeah.
And then, like, and I mean, a lot of people called me selfish. A lot of people even, I mean, sometimes my family's mad at me because, like, you know, like the kids in country, because I'm working too much. But, like, I know this is the right thing to do.
No, I know.
It's working. Like, I should have, like, we got into housing. I should have never got into housing. Someone walked into the Fledge, a fledgling that now is a millionaire, walked into the Fledge when I was trying to get that house and my caseworker didn't come through with what he said he could come through with, and wrote Jerry a $5,000 check. And Jerry literally walked up to me and said, "Don't worry about that $1,000. You're good. You have your house." Like, those things don't. That's not the only thing. There's so many things that just fell into place when I started doing the right thing and doing what I wanted to do.
I feel you. Well, that's like the process here too, that like I think is so important to learn. And like, even like, I can tell you from experience that like when we first got this building, like I was in that mindset, but like I like, it's like almost like a relapse type of deal. Like I like feel like I relapse out of that, but it's just interesting to me because that's like what the Fledge teaches. But if you think about it, like power and passion can just mean that.
Like, yeah, no, that definitely.
Feeling.
That's why
it's the power that you put into your passion, like a lot, like you're doing your thing. If you do what you love all the time, like if your mind is telling you, and like, it's just like, I just know it's right. Like no one can tell me I'm doing it wrong. Even if they tell me I'm a piece of shit, even if they tell me I'm fucked up for this, I don't care because I'm like, I know it's right. But, like, that's, like, I don't know. I can't wait, like, to see where it goes because I just, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I feel
that's
like your kids will, it will be worth it.
No, it's so worth it for them just to see that I'm doing this and to see how it's growing, to see that they can do something like this and that you can live and do what you want to do and do what you're supposed to do, like, what your purpose is in life. And if everyone did that, like, everyone would make money because you're the best at what you want to do. Like, I don't want to, even when I'm working for free, this is what I want to be doing. This is what I would be doing for free. And that's where the name did come from. Like there, for me, there was power in, from me finding my passion.
Yeah.
Like it changed my life. And so that correlates to what I'm doing because when these returning citizens, when we help them reduce their barriers, give them resources to be able to just survive, because every day they're struggling just to survive through that day, just to eat, just to find somewhere to live. When we reduce our those barriers by giving them resources and give them these tools to find what they're passionate about, when they find that and when they start working on that, they aren't going to commit a crime. They're not going to go back because there's no need to. Like Jerry says, connection is the opposite of everything. So when they start to connect with their passion, when they start to connect with people that are at the Fledge to help them or people that also have the same type of passions as them and they're working in their passion, there's no need to do those other things because everything's being fulfilled. There's no void that they're trying to fill. So that need to commit a crime is gone. They're not bored, but at the same time, also somehow that housing need is being met because it's like it just happens. It's like serendipity when you're
exactly. It's like, well, I believe like okay, if like I make money off my art and then I want to buy art, like I want to take some of that, even if I make $20, I want to spend at least $2 or something, 10%,
yeah,
on art or something like that. But it's like, because I'm trying to repay my love. Like, if I do what I love every day, I have to repay someone else for doing it too. You know what I mean? But it's like the same thing if you're volunteering helping Jerry at the Fledge or like something, like you're helping someone else in their passion. So like that's like, yeah. I don't know, it's like a growing, it's expanding all the time. It's just like this like cycle of like, it's, I don't know, if everyone did it exactly, it's like everyone would be successful, everyone would make money. And yeah. This is amazing.
But like I've kind of skipped over your question, like what power and passion is. I mean, so So we help returning citizens reduce the rate at which they commit technical violations. Right now, a big thing with the Michigan Department of Corrections is they're publicizing how much, how quickly the, the prisons, their numbers are decreasing. There's not as many prisoners, but what they're failing to say is that there's not as many prisoners because they're giving more people probation instead of putting them in prison, or they're letting people out on parole. And yeah, that might sound great, but our parole and prison or parole and probation numbers have gone up like so much. Like they're crazy high, like 180,000 people in Michigan. One in four adults in Michigan is on probation or parole right now.
One in four?
Yeah. And the thing with that is these technical violations. So if they miss a meeting or they let's say they do something a little bit worse. They fail a drug test. They test positive for some type of drug or miss a meeting or don't complete their GED or go somewhere they're not supposed to go or miss curfew. Then they can go to prison. They can go back to prison. They can go back to jail. So they're just, it's just a revolving door. Yeah, the numbers are lower because they keep people on the outside, but there's always people going in and they're not getting out of the system because they're just putting them in for 6 months or a year and then taking them out on probation and then violating them and resentencing them. I mean, country's original charge, he got 6 months in jail for and 18 months probation. That's the only crime he's committed. All of the additional sentences have been technical violations. They revoked his probation and sent him to and resentenced him to prison based on a technical violation. No new crime. So that's how they're keeping people in the system and publicly acting like their prison numbers are going down. So if there is to be criminal justice reform at all, there has to be parole and probation reform. And we're reducing the rate at which they commit technical violations by, providing them those resources like housing, employment, people that hire felons, people that will house felons, things like that. And then we're also... instead of punishing negative behavior, like you missed that meeting, go to jail for 10 days. We say, hey, you made that meeting. Here's 20 points on the app that we've created. Here's 20 points. And those 20 points can turn into rideshare credits or money for groceries or new clothes for interviews and things like that. So we've created an app that has resources on it that combines advocacy. Everyone has a one-on-one advocate to help them through the struggles. And then also we've gamified that app to promote positive behaviors and reinforce positive behaviors and reinforce connections in the community.
Oh my God. Okay. And I mean, I knew that there was like the point thing on the app, but that's just amazing because to give them like a reward is like so beneficial in someone's growth. I mean, because that's like literally how you, like you're talking preschool, you know?
No, yeah.
Like you get a gold star.
So we didn't even know this. The app idea was already created and the positive reinforcement of positive behavior was already created. And then we found out because someone came and saw Jerry that the first digital therapeutic just got approved by the FDA. So our long-term goal is that our app will be the first FDA-approved product for reducing or eliminating recidivism. So because of our – that means basically because of our app, people will no longer, come in and out of prison and jail because they won't have the need to commit those crimes. And instead of having to go to a pharmaceutical, which usually happens, they'll just get to skip right over to a digital therapeutic, which is huge in the reentry world because obviously they are more prone to substance abuse issues. And right now, the only digital therapeutic, the first ever approved, is for alcoholism.
I was going to say, is it the I Am Sober app?
It might be.
Because I have that, and it has, like, therapy or something. Like, I haven't tried that part yet.
Yeah, but they, I mean, the point is they reward positive behaviors, and we didn't even know that that existed. So that's our long-term goal, and that's how, I mean, that's just how huge it's grown. Like, it literally went from me wanting to advocate for returning citizens.
November 13th. What was the hatching? September 25th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, this is all grown in like, a month and a half. But
oh, that's so crazy.
I don't know. It's just really changed my life. And I would just want, I mean, everyone to, I fully, with my whole heart, with my whole being, believe that people should pursue their passion. And yeah, it can work. And it will work itself out if you're 100% committed. I mean, I work on this probably over 100 hours a week because it's all I do, because it's all I want to do.
Dead ass. Yeah.
It's all I want to do.
And, oh, my God, that's, oh, my God. That's so crazy because, yeah, it's, I just feel like we're, like, so similar in such weird ways.
Yeah, I know, because we're so different, but we're so, like, I know.
It's just weird because, obviously, you've been my sister my whole life, but things, like, still know more and more. It's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's, like, starred here, the leaving a legacy. I feel like everything you've said has been, like, worth the legacy, almost. Like, because, like, just, like, first of all, Power and Passion, it's, there's nothing bad. There's no, like, negative thing about having this app, you know what I mean? Like, there's no bad being put into the world with it. It's only helping people who need it most and who are probably going to be, like, the most isolated people and connecting them.
Yeah.
That is amazing, because it's almost like a social media at that point, too, in a way, because, like, and have you thought of doing it so that, like, people can, like, see each other's stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely want to share other people's stories and stuff, and have them share their stories, but, I mean, like, the legacy, I mean, I just hope Power and Passion does, I guess, I, you know, want people to look back at me and Power and Passion and say they changed the parole system. They made them see that punishing people for making little mistakes without giving them the resources to succeed isn't making better people. And no matter how you feel about criminals, if they're coming back into your community, which 90% of the people in prison are, you should want them to be better. Because if not, it's only going to hurt you and your kids. So that's a legacy I want to leave. Just, you know, people saying, hey, that's how it changed. That's how they made them see that they should help people more. They should rehabilitate more. They should give people more resources. They should connect with them. And they should, you know, just give people second, third, fourth, fifth chances. You don't know people's story. You don't know what they went through. You don't know what they've struggled with. And you can't judge them unless you have.
Exactly.
So.
And you, okay, remind me. Ideas. I have them for Power and Passion.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
But remind me, because I don't have time to tell you right now.
But I don't know. It's.
Oh, my God. I just feel like it. Even just, like, after, I'm so glad we did this, because I feel like, even, like, right now, I feel, like, so inspired for Power and Passion. It's so weird. Like, it's just, like, but I feel like this, it's something that could be, like, so expansive. It could go so beyond just the people using the app. It's everyone that wants to help people that might need the app. So it's, like, the influencers that, like, could wear a t-shirt that says Power and Passion, and then their friends that are on parole or on probation can get the app.
No, and right. That's why I wanted. That's why I asked you about screen printing, because I want people to ask
that's
what
exactly
it is.
What I was just thinking. I was like, we're gonna make a screen. Okay, yeah. We can put on anything.
Yeah. Too. And just if we wear it, but I don't know.
I was thinking, like, tours, like musicians and stuff talking about it. Fucking, like, Kanye would talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he would, like,
yeah.
ASAP definitely would too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It just. It's amazing. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
You're my fave.
You're my fave for this year, for sure.
Right, for now. Till I talk to MK later. No, yeah. Just
joking. Depends if Terry's. Right.
But no, thank you. This was super cool.
No, yeah, this was awesome. I'm glad we did it. Oh, my mind.